And welcome to Minute 19 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we FUBAR our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Simon Appleton of the Movie Mustache, or the Movie Man Mustache, or Man Movie Mustache, I don't know. What is it? Something with a mustache and a man. And movies.
Welcome, good to be back.
Welcome back, Simon. Okay, so minute 19 begins with the medic continuing to give his assessments and ends with Mike crawling around trying to get a little bit of a look as to what's going on. So we ended things yesterday with, they finally were able to defilade. Anyone who wants to know what that means, go back to Simon explained it really well. and basically, we're here with the medics who are still on the beach, doing a triage on the spot, trying to figure out who they can save, who they can't save, who they, you know, whatever. And, we have Wade getting orders from this older medic. Were you able to figure out who plays that medic?
No.
When you go through the IMDb page, you get people in the credits you have something here. No, it's senior medical officer. I don't know if that would be the guy you would say. Maybe. I mean, does this guy do you think he's a medical officer? I don't know. I mean, looking at the picture, it does not look like him, but anything is possible. The actor who plays the senior medical officer is named Crofton Hardister. And he has 19 IMDb credits. This is actually his second-to-last credit. It doesn't say, anything about, why he no longer was in... why he's no longer credited, doesn't have a list of birthday or, death date or anything like that. He did a lot of TV shows and stuff like that, little small parts and stuff like that from the 70s. So IMDb doesn't really give us very much about him besides that. So again, I don't know if this is him or not. It's possible. No way of knowing. But he starts to give his assessment to Wade of these various guys. He looks over one other guy who seems to be holding his hand, so he must have been shot in his hand or something like that, possibly.
According to Google image search, it is him.
Okay.
He is the senior medical officer, although you can't actually see a rank insignia. Mm-hmm. But it does look like him.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense that he's giving out all the, he's giving out orders. So, it means that
interesting.
That
he's not a ranger. Looking at the pat, he's wearing a 29th Infantry,
right?
Insignia. So it's literally like we were discussing beforehand, how there's the military chain of command and there is the medical chain of command, and he's obviously now answering to the medical chain of command because Wade is a ranger.
Right.
So he's not in his unit, but he's giving him the orders.
Okay, but it sort of makes sense, that if you're a medic and you have a doctor around, you're going to say, okay, I'm going to, listen to what the doctor has to tell me to do here.
Exactly.
That sort of makes sense from that perspective. And so he points to this first guy and says, routine. The guy is like holding his hand. And then the second guy who is moving back and forth, he's got like blood on his cheek. Looks like he's having trouble breathing from the way that it is, and then he says priority, and he keeps moving along, checking the various guys, and then he goes to the next guy who just looks like he's already dead, and he goes, he's gone, and then he turns to Wade, and Wade is looking in the other direction, and he bangs on his helmet.
Yeah, not gently either. There's a proper wallop to the head.
Yeah, this is I'm getting your attention. There is a reason why you need to be here. So,
I like the guy who's described as routine. He's holding his wrist and he's wailing and moaning. After watching it a couple of times, I sort of started to think, wow, that is a bit of a hammy performance there. I'm guessing he's either an extra or he might have even been one of the Irish soldiers recruited to help film it. But then I started to think, well, actually, that makes it more genuine, because it could be shock, it is trauma, pain, scared, all of those things. It adds to the authenticity of it. So I kind of went in a bit of a circle with it, because at first it was part of the film, it made sense. And then I started to sort of hear it more, and it got a bit hammy. And then the more I thought about it, and I watched it a couple more times, it was like, actually, this makes sense.
Well, again, they're trying to show the different type of reactions that different people will have to being in this type of situation. It for better or for worse.
Absolutely.
You know, on the one hand, it might seem as if he's giving a very overreaching performance or whatever it is, but you know, here the idea is that, okay, this is a guy who, you know, definitely is in the middle of battle and possibly needs to, you know, try and find a little bit more. Maybe it could be a guy who's just looking for sympathy, or it could be a guy who is really in shock from everything that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be any of them.
Yeah, definitely.
So I like the way that they do that. You know, they make it so that we're looking at this guy and saying, you know, because he's right next to another guy who's, you know, this guy's just holding his arms, but we don't know what happened to John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know if it's because something major has happened to that, I don't know, is he missing part of his arm? Is it part of his hand? We don't know, you know, so... I guess we will have to just use our imaginations there. I guess that's part of the idea here.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, we talked about the fact that he bangs him on the helmet, and he just does it a great way. You know, it's like, okay, I want you to get back, you know, get back in here. And
wake up.
That's right, wake up. And as he's doing all this, I mean, we see that the bad guys are still shooting at them. Because you have all of these, you have dust and pebbles and stuff that are all, you know, flying all over the place in front of them. So, you know, he's trying to keep low, but maybe he's got a good position that they can't really reach him where he's at. But still, you know, they're still shooting at them. And then the shot changes, and we see a bunch of soldiers trying to. I guess get to the other side of the what did we call it, the shelf,
the shingle,
get to the other side of the shingle, right? And you know, again, one of them falls down. You know, they're slipping and sliding in this beach sand, which is, you know, not dry and not wet at the same time. You know, yeah, so, it's
a horrible mix.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they all regroup on the other side there. And I like the way that they do it. You know, the camera shots here are great.
Yeah.
Because they basically tell us, as we've said all week, the idea here is to make us feel as if we are right there. And, you know, it does get the documentary feel that you're right there behind these characters as they're going through whatever they're going to need to be going through. Yeah, and I love it.
Yeah, it's very up close and personal.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then Miller takes the lead, and he gets to this end of some sort of structure. You know, it's strange of what it could be, because it looks like something has been bombed out. But you'd think, on the other hand, that it should be something that maybe it just wasn't completed. Because I don't think that they had that much of a – did they have that much of a barrage on Omaha Beach beforehand? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I know there was some I don't think it was as effective as they were hoping it would be. The bunker itself definitely looks battle damaged. They had the air forces go over beforehand as on bombing raids as well, and again wasn't quite as effective as they were hoping. But so it's possible that that one particular one got taken out, because I know obviously there's later ones that they clear from behind, but you would think if there was actually soldiers in this bunker that they were hiding behind, they'd be dropping stuff out of the shooting position at the top, because you could quite easily drop a grenade down there and take out a whole load of them.
Right.
So the fact that they are all tucked up around, and as you said before, we saw the Germans running to the sandbag bunker earlier on. Maybe that one has been hit or damaged, or they've just retreated from it for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. It's but again, it's great the way that they depict it. We see
that
for whatever reason there is a lot of debris around, which is both good for hiding, and on the other hand, you got to get around it.
Yeah, it gets in the way.
Right. It shows how difficult it is, and Miller then sticks his head out just to get a little bit of look, and then we get like a whole bunch of rapid fire shots right around him. There's explosions there also and stuff like that. Like somebody saw that Miller has put his head out there. With the whole thing, and it's great the way that they do it. And we see that the guys are getting a little bit scared here. Mike screams, "Son of a," and then someone else goes, "Get in there." Another one goes, "Can't move."
Melish, I know Melish is the one who says, "I can't move," because he's literally laid out flat and there's just nowhere for him to go.
He's got nowhere to go, but, he's still. Okay. No, yeah. All right. That makes sense. It is Melish that says that. And then we can see that Miller looks at his hand and, decides that he actually has a plan and pulls something out of his pocket. And he screams to Melish and he goes, "Melish, yes, sir. Give me your bayonet." And as he's giving him the bayonet, he's getting ready to take the bayonet. He passes it on to Mike, and Mike passes it on to Miller. Miller takes it, and then he reaches and just sticks his hand in Mellish's mouth.
I love that bit.
I love it too. And pulls out his gum. And sticks his gum on the edge of the bayonet. Do you think that something like that is practical in real life? Do you think it really would work?
I think Sod's law dictates that when you really need it to work, like when you're stuck under fire on a beach, hiding behind a bunker, it's not going to work. But I like to think it would if you needed it to.
Right. I mean, my thought is that, he, how long has he been chewing this gum?
Yeah.
And, he was in the water and, it doesn't make sense to me that this gum would still be an adhesive, I guess you can say.
Mm. For me, it's just the way that Miller just looks at him, reaches into his mouth. There's no thought. No,
he doesn't even ask.
His face is blank. And Mellish doesn't even question it. I mean, even as an actor, Adam Goldberg, or whatever his name is laying there, and Tom Hanks has just reached over and stuck his grubby hand in his mouth, and he doesn't even bat an eyelid and just uses it as glue. It makes me laugh every time. It's brilliant. It's just it's almost like it's normal.
Wouldn't that have been great if Adam Goldberg didn't know that they were going to do that? And he just reaches it in and,
Yeah, now that you say it, I really hope that's the way it was. Steven Spielberg got up to him before shoot. Piece of gum.
It's possible. I wouldn't put it past Spielberg to do something like that.
No, not at all.
Or for Hanks to do it. For Hanks to say, but then again, unfortunately, the scene wouldn't work with if it was on the spot, because you sort of need to
Well,
do
even if it
something
could be
there.
planned, they just didn't tell the actor that it was going to happen. Just chew this gum.
Right, okay, that could be too. That's a
It's
good
like
point.
Die Hard when they dropped Alan Rickman for the final shot. He
Yes.
didn't know. They dropped him early. They dropped him on two. They kept doing the countdown and dropped him on two. That's why he looks so alarmed in
Correct.
that sequence.
Hey, the movie got nominated for best special effects for that scene. So, that works. So, yeah, I like the way they do that. And what Miller then does is he basically takes the gum, puts it on the bayonet. He has a little piece of I'm not sure if it really is a mirror or if it's just some sort of makeshift mirror or something like that he has, and glues it, basically sticks it onto the end of the bayonet, and then uses that as like a periscope to try and see what's going on, which I think is an amazing plan to do it that way. To think about it on the spot, that this is what you want to do.
I mean, it's possible that he had it because I've been reading a book about Dick Winters, written by another military officer who was a teacher at West Point as well. And he was saying that one of the things he was taught in officer candidate school was to always be clean shaven. And obviously, there's the famous scene in Band of Brothers where he's cracking water in his mess tin with his bayonet and rubbing, even though it's freezing, he's rubbing shaving foam on, and then obviously he takes the German prisoner. But he had a little mirror like that as well, so it's entirely possible that it's just a little mirror from a shaving kit or something or other.
Oh, it could be. Makes sense. And then there's a little bit of an explosion, and then Miller gives a report. He goes, two MG-42s and two mortars. Add 20, left 30. So, the idea behind that obviously is that he's telling them what he sees, based on what type of ammunition they have and stuff like that, in order to shoot at them. In M, do you know what an MG-42 is?
Hitler's buzzsaw, the heavy machine gun of the German army.
Yes. Now the what's interesting is that the US ended up using the basis of the MG-42 for creating the M60, which is what you see that a lot in the Vietnam movies. They basically copied part of the design.
And they were also used as the heavy weapons in Aliens, or the basis for the heavy weapons in Aliens as well.
And the high rate of fire on them would cause problems for the gunner's aims. And but the thing is they had barrels that you can easily switch within 30 seconds or less, because if the barrel got too hot and stuff like that.
It is an insane rate of fire on that. I don't know the actual rate of fire, but the sound it makes is quite something.
Right. I doesn't say here what the specifically how many the rate of fire. Okay. No, it can shoot 1,200 rounds per minute.
That is quite a lot.
Yeah.
You can certainly, when you hear it, you can certainly understand how it earned the nickname Hitler's Buzzsaw,
Yeah. That's
because
true.
it is
Because
a
that's the way the
horrifying sound.
sound, right? That's the sound of it is zzz. Maybe it sounds like a lightsaber type Yeah, I don't know. Don't know. And I the where he says add 20, left 30. Do you think that's like coordinates that he's giving them and stuff?
I'm assuming it's distance and I don't know, angle from his position. So 20 meters, or is it possibly at their 30? It can't be 30 meters above them, surely, but well, possibly. I've wondered this. As I say, add 20 left 30. I mean, it would be to his left at 30 degrees, maybe. So, and then 20 meters away.
Right. I mean, again, I don't know the answer to this. My guess would be that it is he's giving pseudo coordinates to tell them, okay,
yeah,
you know, this is how you're going to find what you need to find over there and stuff like that. You know, I guess it's shorthand by saying, okay, you know, if you want to know where it is, then what you have to do is you have to, you know, look 20 meters to the left and I think he's 20 meters up and then 30 to the left. I think the add 20 is probably, talking about the height of where you have to look through for that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Stuff like that. They give us a great shot. The mirror shot is just amazing also.
Yeah.
You know, we see what Miller sees in his mirror. You see a few Germans shooting at them and stuff like that. So it's,
and you can also see the soldiers and what he can see
on the other side
in front of him. Yeah, it's the one time you actually really see in that direction is when you're looking at the mirror.
Correct.
Yeah, and it's quite that they remembered that, and it's all there.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing I obviously would have seen it in the cinema, but then we first owned it on VHS. Back in the day, when you didn't get the full cinema picture at home on TV. So I'm guessing for a few years until I then bought it on DVD and we had widescreen tellies and what have you, wouldn't have seen it for a few years.
That's probably true. Right. Interesting. And so as Miller is, he's giving the information and then we see that Mike gets closer in order for him to get a little bit of a look at the whole thing. And, as he scoots closer, the minute ends. So it goes back to what you've been saying all week, that the way that they cut these minutes is not necessarily something that we would have expected.
No.
All right. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Just one little thing. It's when they approach the bunker, there is a shot of Vin Diesel. And watching this, and obviously knowing that they created that role especially for him because Spielberg had seen his indie short that he'd made, I just remember looking at him and thinking, what happened to him? Because back then he was a great actor, and he had some great roles. Capazzo in this, there's another film, I forget the name of it, but he's playing a real life mob boss in a massive court case, and he's the one guy
who doesn't have a lawyer.
Apart from the awful wig he's wearing, he's fantastic in that, and then he had acting chops, charisma, all of that. He had everything going for him, and then now he's a diva that's turned into a chunk of granite, and it just there's nothing about his acting that is interesting or inspiring or even just good anymore. It's very disappointing to think that, and I watch this film and think, what happened to him?
Oh, wow. Interesting. I'm trying to remember the name of that movie that you were talking about. It was Sidney Lumet's film.
Find Me Guilty or something like that.
Find Me Guilty. Very good. Yes. From 2006.
Yeah.
Jackie DiNorcio. That's the character he plays. All right. Great. All right. So every Thursday we have a segment called Say What Thursday. So it's a little game that I've created. And basically the idea here is I'm going to give you a quote and I'm going to tell you what year the movie came out. And you're going to have to try and guess who the actor is who says this quote in the movie and what movie it is. Now, obviously, there are tons of actors in this movie, so every single time I'm going to choose, just three actors that are the possibilities. So it's either going to be something that Tom Hanks says, something that Matt Damon says, or something that Giovanni Ribisi says. Okay.
Right. So, I have to guess
You have to guess what movie it is.
What movie it is.
Well, you have to guess what movie it is and who the actor is who's, you know, of those three, who it is that's doing it. Now, there are lifelines. You can ask for other actors that are in the movie. You can, in general, ask for the director. Sometimes I won't give it to you because it might be too easy if I give away the director. But we'll see how this goes. All right, so let's start with a relatively easy one. So in a movie that came out in 2013, quote is, there's got to be something other than being a fisherman and killing people. Remember,
gotta be something.
It's either going to be Matt Damon, Tom Hanks, or Giovanni Ribisi.
Don't know that quote. I'm ashamed to say.
Okay. The director is Paul Greengrass.
Oh, is it Matt Damon in Green Zone?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Tom Hanks in Captain Phillips.
That is correct. Very good.
There it is.
Okay. All right. Let's go with the second one. From 2009, the character says, "What the hell have you people been smoking out there?"
That's when you think you know films. Okay, who else was in that film?
All right. Who? What are the names that I can give you that won't give it away completely? Michelle Rodriguez. Wes Studi. Stephen Lang.
Oh, this is killing me.
CCH Pounder.
Oh, Avatar?
Yes.
Oh, of course, Giovanni Ribisi's in Avatar. Yeah. I'm terrible at this game.
Well, you only have where to go up, so that's good. All right. The third one from 2002. All right. And the quote is, "You go back to Europe, you're going to die in Pergamon prison. You try to run here in the States, we'll send you back to Atlanta for 50 years." 2002. Remember, it could be Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, or Giovanni Ribisi.
I'm terrible at this game. I'm sure I've heard that quote before, but
I am sure of it also because you mentioned this movie earlier this week.
Oh God. Who else is in it?
Martin Sheen. Amy Adams.
And what's the quote again?
The quote is, "You go back to Europe, you're going to die in Pergamon prison. You try to run here in the States, we'll send you back to Atlanta for 50 years." All right, I'm going to give you another actor, but it's probably going to give it away completely. Christopher Walken. Still doesn't help.
I'm terrible at this game.
All right, I'll give you another one. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, just catch me if you can.
Yes.
Idiot. God. I'm awful at this game.
All right. Let's go to the next one. You got two more. Two more. I'm hoping you're going to get both of these. All right. So the next one is from 2004. And the quote is, "America closed."
Oh, it's The Terminal.
Yes. Very good. See, you got it. There you go. You didn't even need any help from that one. And the final one from 2006. "You say you hate history. Nobody hates history. They hate their own histories."
From 2006?
Yes. Okay, Alfred Molina's in it.
I know that line.
Okay. Jean Renault is in it.
The Da Vinci Code.
Yes. Very good. All right. Well, Simon, thank you for playing.
Playing terribly.
Well, yeah, you got two of them, so there you go. That's already, it's a start. It's a start. Next time you'll do better, I'm sure. All right. So, Simon, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Simon Appleton?
They can find my lack of knowledge on the spot anyway, moviemustache.com. You can also find me on Facebook, moviemustache2.0, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, movie_mustache, or random movie and TV news and reviews.
All right, you see, and it also goes to show that you didn't cheat. You know, your integrity is very high there, so that's good. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can send me an email to moviearoundminute@moviearound.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on Twitter. So, Simon, you feel like coming back again tomorrow in order to be here for a milestone episode?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this. My solitude.